think most of us have heard the saying that be careful what you wish for because you might get it. And that's true in a lot of senses, but most of all in the fact that we're to be careful what we wish for, because if we get it, if you've ever done that, you realize it wasn't really like you thought it was going to be, right? Secondly, if you get it, you realize that there's a lot of responsibility, and you realize that sometimes it's more trouble than you ever imagined it would be. One of the things that I absolutely loathe about television commercials is how television commercials are designed to make people discontent with what they have in life. That's the purpose of them, to make you discontent with your life so that you will buy what they are selling, promising you that you'll be content and happy if you buy their product. Do you know what I'm talking about? That's the purpose in marketing in our modern day culture, is to to make you discontent with life. And sadly, we have fallen into this vicious circle where we've become discontent with a lot of life. And we're constantly looking for something that's going to make us satisfied or content. The word content in Webster's dictionary is an adjective, and it is defined by Webster as a person being happy with their lot, happy with what they have, where they are in life, or satisfied, fulfilling the needs and desires of a person. That's content. When your needs and desires are fulfilled, when you're happy with your life and you're satisfied, then describe a whole lot of us, doesn't it? Sometimes, sadly, God's people are the most discontented people on earth. Adam and Eve, they had it all in the Garden of Eden. There was one tree, there it was. God said, just don't pick from that tree. So along comes the serpent and says to Eve, well, look at it, look at the tree, look at the fruit. Oh, it's really awesome, Eve. God's not going to kill you if you pick from it. Go ahead. So she looks at the fruit, she says, wow, it's really pretty. It's profitable. I think I'm going to pick it and eat it. It's good for food. So she picked it and ate it, disobeying God. She was discontent with what God had already given her. When we look at the Israelites in the desert, remember they were slaves in Egypt for 400 years. And God sent Moses and delivered them out of Egypt. They got to the Red Sea. There the sea was. They complained against God. They became discontent. God parted the Red Sea and they went through on dry ground. The Israelites came, the sea went back, collapsed on them and drowned the whole army of Pharaoh. As they went on in the desert, they complained because they didn't have food. God provided manna from heaven and he provided the quail to feed them. Before the exile, before God allowed the Babylonians to come and take the Israelites captive back to Babylonia, they were so discontented with God that they made gods of their own, idols and images, and worshipped other gods, because somehow they came to the conclusion that God, Yahweh, Jehovah God, wasn't good enough. During Jesus' ministry, Jesus fed the thousands, but people still walked away from him. They turned away from him when the going got tough. David had it all. He was king. But oh, when he saw Bathsheba, she was hot. And he had to have her, didn't he? Right? After the exile, people were waiting for the coming of the Messiah. God's promise was fulfilled in Jesus when he came. The Jews became discontent because they weren't doing what they thought God should do with the Messiah, through the Messiah. He wasn't freeing them from Roman occupation. Over the years, we've become very discontented with church, with religion, with Christianity. We try to add things along the way to make it a little more attractive. We brought guitars and drums into church and praise music and done this and done that and all kinds of things, because we've become discontent with just simply worshiping God. How many of us could come on Sunday morning and worship the Lord without a bulletin? How many of us could come on Sunday morning and worship God without a hymnal? How many of us could come on Sunday morning in just our work clothes, our jeans, our boots, whatever? We try to add to it. Today, we've become discontented with the gospel about Jesus and all this stuff about Jesus. Sadly, because there's been a lot of this, what's called liberation theology, liberation gospel, especially in the black community, where the preaching is, if you follow Jesus, He'll free you from whatever has you in bondage right now in your life. He'll free you. So people start following Jesus because they want to get out of whatever situation they're in life. And soon they find that it's not that easy. It doesn't work that way. Or we have the prosperity gospel. You follow Jesus and He is going to bless you, but that blessing's yours. You need to claim that blessing, and He's going to bless your bank account. He's going to give you that job you want. He's going to give you that brand new car you want, that house that you want. That's not what the Bible says. And then there's the promise of the blessed life. And in Jesus we have the blessed life. The blessed life. I want to ask you folks, how many of you would describe life as blessed? It's a struggle, isn't it? Every single day. Yeah, we have blessings, and we have to stop, and we have to accentuate those blessings, because it is a blessed life. But it has a way of tearing us down, doesn't it? Discontentment drives the marketing, and marketing drives the discontentment. It's a vicious circle, and the great human struggle becomes all about contentment. Because something is missing inside. Something is just not there that we want to be there. So where do we go? What do we do to be content, to find contentment? Well, we turn to drugs and alcohol and sex. We turn to intellect. We think, well, if I get my degree, I'll be happier, I'll be more content. Or we turn to money. We go to great lengths to get rich, to earn money so that we have money and can buy the things that we want. But actually what happens, that plan backfires on us because we actually become slaves to that kind of a lifestyle. All of a sudden we're Xing things off of our calendar that we should be doing, like going to church on Sunday morning and things like that, because we have to work. We have to do this and we have to do that because we need to earn more money. So we become enslaved by it, that kind of thinking. Or maybe we turn to possessions. You know, the old saying, the guy that dies with the most toys wins. That's no farther from the truth. And you know, that's so far from the truth. The guy that dies with the most toys wins. There's one problem with this kind of thinking, that it all falls short when it comes to contentment. Because the more we get, the more we make, the less happy we are. Because that's not what fills the void in the soul of a human being. For two reasons, we're discontented people. First of all, we're a fickle society. We're changeable and unstable. We're a fickle society. One day we just absolutely love this thing right here, and the next day that's not good enough. The new one comes out and we want that. We're unstable. We're changeable people. We're not satisfied with what's already been provided. Secondly, we're confused about the real problem. And here's the root of discontentment in our society. We're confused about the real problem. It's like eating food. We go around, you know, all of a sudden we get hungry. We get this growling, grumbling. We kind of feel a little pain down here. So, oh my gosh, what's wrong with me? Well, maybe we'll get on the internet and go searching, and we might go to one place and it tells us pain in the stomach and the lower abdomen here or there. Oh my gosh, I have cancer! You know what I'm saying? And we get all these false ideas in our head. So we think, to be content, I've got to go to the doctor. I've got to find out what's wrong. Or we say, oh, I know what's wrong. I'm hungry. I need to eat. Well, gosh, I saw on television the other day, it said when you're hungry, when your stomach's growling and telling you it's hungry, you need to feed it. Get down here to McDonald's. Right? So you go to McDonald's like I did the other day. You buy the quarter pounder and you buy the fries. And boy, there we were. Jason and I were eating away. And it's like, wow, this is really great. We got all done and we're sitting there and I turned over the papers and started looking at the fat content. I suddenly got sick to my stomach. And I said to Jason, I shouldn't have eaten that. I should not have eaten that. You see, the problem was I was hungry. But the way I went about feeding that and taking care of that was wrong. There was a right way to do it. A salad would have done the same. Yuck. Yeah, that's right, but I should have been contented with something that was better for me. Okay? Being content is something that we as human beings have to learn to do. Paul is the example for us this morning from Philippians. Here he was in prison, near the end of his life. Paul had, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 5 times he was whipped, 39 lashes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked. Floating around in the Mediterranean Sea. Think about that. Okay? I spent a night and day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my own countrymen, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false brothers. I've labored and toiled and have often gone without sleep. I've known hunger and thirst and have gone without food. I've been cold and naked. But he wrote to the Philippians from prison, thanking them for helping them. He sent the letter with Epaphroditus, who had brought stuff to him in prison, thanking them for their generosity in helping him out. And he says, I know what it is to be in need and I know what it is to have plenty, but I have learned the secret of being content in every situation. It was a learned thing. When you learn something, you get revelation. You see where you didn't see before. You understand what you didn't understand before. And that's a journey in the life of a Christian. To understand that God puts us in places at certain times for certain reasons. It may not be pleasant, but we have to trust that we're going to get through it, because as Paul said, I have learned that I can do everything through Christ who strengthens me. When the going got tough, he turned to Jesus. He trusted in Jesus. He didn't fall from the faith. He didn't denounce Christ. He didn't curse Christ. He didn't quit or give up on him. In fact, that's when he dug in and turned to Jesus all the more when the going got tough. He learned through all of those hard times to be content, to just trust in the Lord. You say, well, that's okay for him, Pastor, but you don't know what I've gone through in my life. Well, maybe I haven't. Maybe I haven't. But I'll tell you what, let's trade lives for a week. Let's trade lives for a week. We have all gone through our struggles and maybe are going through them right now. And we're finding ourselves discontent with life right now. Maybe this isn't the way it's supposed to be. I've worked all my life and I haven't gotten to where I wanted to be. I'm not making enough money for this or for that. Or you don't know what kind of a relationship I'm in right now. The Bible tells us as Christians we're supposed to be content, trusting that God will provide for us and give us contentment and peace in our hearts, satisfaction in our hearts as we go along on this journey that we call life. Sometimes it's not pleasant. Sometimes it downright stinks. But the last thing we should do is turn away from the Lord. Do you know what's wrong with the church today in the 21st century, the modern day church? Not the people that are in the church, the people that are out of it. That's what's wrong with the church. They became discontent, so they left. They turned away. And now they're out in the communities saying what a bunch of hypocrites the church is and what the church is like. But wait a second. So in other words, you were discontent with the church, so you went out in the world to find contentment? Does that make sense? No, it doesn't. It doesn't make a bit of sense because it's not out there. It's not out in the world. It's in Jesus Christ that we're going to find contentment. We're going to learn time and time again as we're going through the battles of life that there's only one way we're going to find peace. There's only one person that can put that peace deep into our souls, and his name is Jesus. Because he's the only one that knows the future. You know what I love about Jesus most of all? He knows what's coming up in my life. So even though I might be struggling today, He's building me and strengthening me for that time that's coming up. And I have to just take the time to say, okay, Lord, maybe this isn't what I really wanted, but I'm going to trust You today. I'm going to be content with what I have right now because You know best about what's coming up. You know, one of the worst things we can do is become discontent with life and start turning away from God. It causes our lives to be wrecked, literally wrecked, because we think the ways of the world are better. Let me give you an example. Friday morning, my friend and I were headed for Columbus. I stopped in Phillipsburg to pick my friend up, and he had rented a car, so we were taking a rental car with front-wheel drive. We started out Route 80 out past Clearfield, and as you get up out past Clearfield, it's highly elevated. It's the highest point east of the Mississippi. The roads were clear, but they started to glisten. And all of a sudden, we're fished down. He says, whoa, he says, man, this is slippery. So we're traveling along about 40 miles an hour, 45 maybe tops. And people are flying by us. Along comes these two guys in a white... How many of you have ever wanted a BMW? Thought, wow, my life would be great if I could just have a BMW. Along comes this BMW SUV, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, buy us on 80. And we're kind of laughing, yeah, you're feeling invincible, aren't you, buddy? There they go. We get down the road about 5 miles. We come to the top, and the knoll of the hill on the top. Way down the road, I said, hey, I said, those guys in that BMW are pulled over off the road. We got up fairly close to where they are, and we could see the tracks. They went off of Route 80. Down over the bank they went. Down the bank, up the other side. You know how it's kind of graded. Up the other side towards the woods. And there they went, down through the woods for quite a ways. Finally, they came back out on the road, and they regained control. And they had pulled over alongside the road, and they were out looking their car over. Well, we all know why they pulled over, don't we? We shouldn't laugh about it. Had there been a tree or a rock in that, they'd have been killed. But you know, I felt pretty good coming along in our little front wheel drive car. We were skating around, taking it slow, but we weren't over in the ditch or over in the woods. You see what I'm saying? So we have to be careful. We have to be careful. I know sometimes life is hard. And I know sometimes we just want to give up. We can't imagine why God's allowing us to go through what we're going through. But we have to trust that He will bring us through. That's where we gain our strength. I believe it was either Alistair Begg or Charles Stanley said the other day, lack of contentment comes from having too much. Lack of contentment doesn't come from not having enough. It comes from having too much. Because the more we get, the more we want. And this thing develops that we can never get enough. I like Peterson's The Message, the way he phrases this. I want you to listen to this. He quotes Paul as saying, whatever I have, wherever I am, I can make it through anything in the One who makes me who I am. Think about that. I can make it through anything in the One who makes me who I am. Paul wrote about a thorn in his flesh in 2 Corinthians. He prayed 3 times to God, take this thorn out of my flesh. I can't deal with this. God said to him, my grace is sufficient. I'll take care of you. Just relax, Paul. It takes a lot of strength to be content. But one of the worst testimonies a Christian can give is to always walk around discontented in life with what they have and where they are and who they are. I don't care whether you're poor or rich. Be content with where you're at. Maybe God doesn't want you to be a millionaire. Maybe He knows that you would turn away from Him if you had riches. I don't care whether you're sick or healthy. Still, we have to be content, trusting in the Lord as we go along in life. I don't care whether you're thin or overweight. God still loves you because He created you and He knows you and He can use you. I'm never going to look like that babe on TV. You know what I'm saying? No matter how much money I spend or how much I exercise, I'm who I am. I love French fries and hamburgers. Maybe I don't care whether you're intelligent or unintelligent. You are who you are. God loves you the way you are. Don't try to be somebody else. Be who you are and be the best you can for God's glory, being who you are. But because of our fleshly weakness, we give away to the worldly desires in this day-to-day battle to just accept our lot in life. And sometimes it doesn't seem fair. Just doesn't seem fair. By whose standards? Whose standards are we looking at? Thank you, Lord, that I'm alive. Remember, I go down the path. I go down the path. I fall. I trip and fall. Thank you, God, that I didn't break my arm. If I'm going down the path, I trip and fall and break my arm. Thank you, God, that I didn't break my neck. If I go down the path and I trip and fall and I break my neck, thank you, God, that I didn't die. If I go down the path and I trip and fall and I die, thank you, God, that you didn't allow me to go to hell. You see the difference in that kind of thinking? Being content in every situation. I'm going to suffer a lot of pain when I fall, breaking my arm, breaking my neck, whatever, a lot of pain and suffering if I die. But being content, trusting that Jesus is going to give me strength to endure all that. Being thankful. We were coming in Route 80 last night in all the snow. We were sometimes traveling 20 miles an hour. Trucks and cars going around us and stuff. We were still skidding around. I said to my friend, I guess it's a whole lot better than floating around in the Mediterranean Sea for a couple days, huh? And he said, yeah, it sure is. We were warm. We were cozy. We were laughing. We were talking. We were making fun of the guys that thought they were invincible. And a few miles down the road, we're in the ditch. We were content. We found contentment in that situation. We do not need all the world has to offer. That's a lie that the world's trying to tell us so we'll spend our money. But we can learn to be content and find happiness in who we are and where we are in life, that we can have the strength to be content no matter what our circumstances through Christ who gives us strength and lives in us. You know, one last thing. That's why Jesus came in the flesh. Why God came in the flesh of Jesus. He knew what we suffer as human beings because He suffered. He knew and knows what we're going through. We can turn to Him and say, Jesus, You know exactly what I'm going through. Give me the strength. Help me to persevere. Help me to be content and thankful with who I am, what I have, and where I am. Let's pray. Dear God, it's just wonderful that we have You as our strength and our rock and our Redeemer. Sometimes we don't understand why life is like it is. It seems to throw us a curveball, and we might be suffering nothing near what Paul suffered. Help us to learn to be content, to always give You thanks, to trust You for the future, and to know with certainty that You love us just the way that we are. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.